Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to another episode of the Sound Heart Radio. This morning's episode is entitled, The Resurrection of Jesus is a Perfect Tense Event. I'm going to be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I'm going to begin at the first verse. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, or Peter, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. Last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, or unto emptiness literally. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so you believe. I'm going to stop at verse 11 because I want to review these verses more thoroughly. First of all, the author, of course, is the Apostle Paul. And the one of the most powerful testimonies in the New Testament is that of the conversion of Paul that is given in Acts chapter 9. It was radical. It was this event on the road to Damascus, that is his encounter with Jesus, radically changed Paul's whole life forever. He was called Saul of Tarsus. And after that event, everything was transformed in his life, because, once again, of his personal encounter with Christ. This is important to note because Paul understood and realized through his encounter with Christ what his life was like before that event. We note that Paul was breathing out threats against the church. Now, when I say that, I don't mean that Paul went out in order to close buildings. That's not the New Testament understanding of the church. The New Testament understanding of church refers to a called out group of individuals who had given their lives to Christ. It doesn't refer to a building or a meeting place. It refers to them, the ecclesia, the called out ones. Paul was hired by the Sanhedrin Council to go out and wreak havoc in the church. And they chose the right man. They chose the one who was able to go out and do what they wanted to have done. And please note that the Pharisees and the chief priests had attempted to suppress the information around the resurrection event. They even hired extra security around his tomb. And they called Jesus that deceiver. So they said that deceiver said that he would be resurrected. And so therefore they said, go and make the tomb secure. And it is interesting that because they had privy to the public ministry of Jesus, they saw his miraculous works. They knew they were genuine. It was the resuscitation of Lazarus that precipitated them to finally take counsel to destroy Jesus. Because they even said that a notable miracle has taken place and we cannot deny it. But they attempted to suppress and to control the people because they knew that there was no way that they could any longer have that absolute control and authority over the will of the people as they had heretofore. Jesus changed everything. And so, what is wonderful about the crucifixion event, even though it was a tragic event, we know that, and Isaiah wrote that his beard was plucked out. Isaiah wrote that Jesus gave his back to the smiters. Isaiah notes in Isaiah 53, well, in Isaiah 52, that his visage or his face was marred beyond human recognition. So we have these prophecies that were literally fulfilled in that one night. And it is therefore important to realize that these the prophecies pointed to one person in one specific time in history, Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Messiah. We no longer like to speak of messianic prophecy or prophecies related to the coming of the Messiah. But the Old Testament teaches the coming of Yeshua HaMashiach so much so that some have called the book of Isaiah the Gospel of Isaiah or the fifth gospel. If you're going to call or the book of Isaiah a gospel document, it should be the first gospel document because of its chronological place in history. So this is a very powerful and wonderful event. So, in the fullness of time, Paul was born again through the power of the Spirit of God. He did not meet Jesus. Jesus met him. On a particular day, a particular point in space-time, and through that encounter, Paul, that is Saul of Tarsus, was changed from Saul to Paul. This is the message that the world today attempts to suppress and to make it into a mere sectarian or religious event. The resurrection is not a religious event. Please note that the resurrection of Jesus was not a religious event. And it was not merely an event confined to what some would call the Christian sacred documents. This event, this resurrection event, was pivotal for the salvation of all individuals. This was God's message. This was God's saving message. Now, when we look carefully in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul states that in verse 3, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received," that is a tradition of belief, a tradition that becomes the sacred duty, one sacred duty to pass on to others, not to change this message, not to change is formulaic, "Thus saith the Lord," but to maintain it, to believe it, to guard it, and then to pass it on to others. Paul had this in his heart. First of all, "that which I also received, how that Christ died for," in the Greek it reads, "not our sins, but the sins," the sins, according to the biblical documents, according to the Word of God. Christ died for the sins. And so Paul uses what we call the aorist indicative active. Aorist in Greek means that at a point in time an event occurred, at a point in time. That's all. The indicative voice bespeaks a statement of fact. Christ died for these sins according to the scriptures. Verse 4, "and that he was buried." Again, we have the aorist. We have an aorist indicative passive. So, once again, the aorist means that at a point in time an event took place. The indicative voice refers to a statement of fact, and the passive voice means that one is being acted upon by an outside power. One is being acted upon by an outside power or force. One receives the action of the verb, in other words. That he was buried. And then in verse 4, after the comma and the connective and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. This word rose, of course, is in the perfect tense. And so we have a perfect indicative passive. Through the power of the Spirit of God that brought, that tamed the chaos monster in Genesis chapter 1. Koshak, a darkness that could be felt. The chaos, the darkness. The Spirit of God brooded over the face of the roaring deep, frozen, frozen wasteland, filled with darkness. There was no light. So the Spirit of God began to remove the chaos and to bring in, in order to bring in the created order. God, through the power of His Spirit, removed from our lives the chaos engendered by sin. Sin engenders or brings chaos into the lives of individuals. If one looks at the chaos of sin through a psychological perspective, and one notes different pathologies within human behavior and different symptoms that accompany what has gone on in human lives, in human conduct, and human actions, one does not get away from the destructive power of sin. Sin is at the foundation of what is going on in the lives of individuals. Sin is that notable, that very real destructive power that God removes from our lives through the power of His Spirit. The word sinner is an adjective in the Greek New Testament. And as you know, an adjective is a descriptor or describes actions. So it is therefore not a noun. And so hamartia refers to a missing of the mark. A hamartolos in the Greek New Testament refers to a sinner, a one who practices sin. And so Paul was an hamartolos who was changed out of that life. He was radically removed from that life through the power of the Spirit of God. Just as you and I, when we received God's message of salvation, we would no longer be considered hamartoloi, that is, sinners. Those who practice sin. And Paul wrote his 13 letters, never to the hamartoloi in Christ, never to the sinners in Christ. Paul wrote his letters to the hagioi, to the holy ones in Christ, to the saints in Christ Jesus. Paul never refers to himself as a hamartolos saved by pistis, or to her a sinner saved by grace. You'll never find that string of words. You will never find those words in the New Testament, referring to those who have been born again, those who have been renewed through the power of the Spirit of God, are never referred to in that manner. They are said to be in Christos, in Christ. That is the new reality. That is the new power. And so these individuals have been radically removed from the power of sin. And this is why I wanted to talk this morning about the resurrection of Jesus as a perfect tense event. He died at a period in history. He was buried at a period in history. But He rose again, perfect tense, never to die again. And so He overcame death. He overcame Thanatos through the power of the Spirit of God. And Peter talks about this in his great sermon on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, verse 24, Peter states, whom God hath raised up. And here, Peter uses the aorist indicative active. Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death. Please note Psalm 18:4. Having loosed the pains of death. Because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Please read Psalm 16, verses 8 through 11. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also, my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption or decay. Now, I also want you to know that the New Testament does not, the Greek New Testament does not use the word hell. It uses the word Hades. And Hades refers to the world of shades or shods, but the world of shades. And it is important to know that this is an intermediate place. When an unsaved individual dies, he goes to Hades, to the world of shades. This place is a place of torment. It is not a place of rest. Yes, this individual is in an intermediate state, but the unsaved are going to be resurrected too, and they will be judged. In Revelation 19, we read, and the books were opened, and the dead, they are referred to as the dead, and again, the word dead is a scriptor, an adjective, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. After the great white throne judgment, see, believing ones in Jesus are not going to stand at the great white throne judgment. They were judged for their sins, 33 AD, on the cross of Jesus. But the dead in Christ will stand before God. They will be judged for their sin. Then they will be confined to Gehenna. Now please note, the dead are going to be resurrected. They are going to receive a resurrection body that is designed for torment. Now, I already heard about some silly things that people were doing in the Bay Area, in the San Francisco area yesterday, mocking the person of Jesus. And people are very interesting these days because they want to believe that nothing is without their ability to make, well, to make fun of or to caricature. And so they want to caricature the person of Jesus. And they did this on Easter. And God knows this. God knows their behavior. God knows what is going on. And it is very tragic that if these individuals never receive Christ as Savior, where they will be. And they are supported by others who watch them and who placate them and who participate in their irreverent actions and behavior. But it's very interesting to note in the Word of God, it states that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. But these persons must come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Because believe me, one does not want to go to the world of shades and then ultimately to the lake of fire or Gehenna, where Jesus said, the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. The fire is not quenched. The Word of God states this. And Jesus said himself that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. Go back to Genesis and read about the antediluvian world and the behavior and the gross misconduct and what God said. God said that my spirit will not always strive with man. God said that every imagination of the thought of his heart was evil continually. And so God overthrew the old world. Cataclysmos is a word that Peter uses. Peter states that God dashed down the old world. God brought in the Mabul. We say flood. The Hebrew says Mabul. Peter uses the word cataclysmos to state that the old world was violently overthrown by water through fluid dynamics or through hydrodynamics. God changed the topography of the earth, and God was dead. This morning, you can come to God through Christ Jesus. You can be saved. You can be rescued from what Paul calls in Galatians chapter 1, this present evil age. You can be saved. You can have a brand new life in Christ. You can have a brand new way. You can have forgiveness of sin. You can step out of the meaningless distractions of this age. You can step out of the titillations of the flesh. You can step out of drug abuse. You can step out of destroying yourself through illicit sexual relationships. You can step out of a life of alcoholism. You can step out of a life of gross abuse, abuse by others. Christ Jesus came into the world to save you. He came into this world to save me. He came into this world to give us new lives. Please read 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4. We are saved by grace. For by grace, Paul states, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The grace of God is there for you today, so that you might be saved, so that you might have a brand new life in Christ Jesus. Go before God and tell him that you want your life changed, you want to be renewed, you want his so great salvation in Christ Jesus. Good morning. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. God bless you and have a wonderful day.